For the past few weeks, I've been preparing to get into the book of Revelation, but I'm not ready to get there yet. I've been laying the foundation because I think you need to know why there is going to be 7 years of tribulation, why God is doing that. So I've been laying the foundation. We're going to continue that this morning. I didn't plan on it, but things happen. You know what I mean? Things happen. So let's begin this morning, if you will, in the book of Galatians. Just one verse over here that'll lay the foundation this morning. The book of Galatians, chapter 1, if you will. There are many reasons for the seven-year tribulation. Mostly, it's the wrath of God upon the nation of Israel. They deserve it. The wrath of God upon all the nations, all the world that rejects the cross, rejects Christ, they deserve it. Fortunately for you and I, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you will not go into the seven-year tribulation. You will not be faced with the Antichrist. You will be taken out, but you deserve to go through the seven-year tribulation. The church deserves to go through the seven-year tribulation, but we will not. Thank God for that. In chapter 1, verse 4, the book of Galatians, Paul tells the church of Galatia, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. There's two words here you need to pay attention to. One is sin, and the other one is evil. Oh, I know. Sin and evil is the same thing, isn't it? Well, yes, it is. But evil is sin on steroids. Evil is not good. I don't like evil. I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that. I realize that fact. I can't get over it. I've tried. Every time I try to say I'm not a sinner, I commit some sin and God slaps me down, which I deserve. But evil is sin run rampant. I don't like evil. I have a right not to like evil. But God said here, according to Paul the Apostle, that we are going to be delivered out of this present evil age. We live in an evil age. Matter of fact, it doesn't matter when you've lived in history, you would have been living in an evil age. The difference is, though, during the seven-year tribulation, evil will be 100 times worse than anything you can ever imagine. The reason is, when the rapture takes place, every person who's put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be delivered. That's what it says. We will be delivered from this. Everyone. Everyone who's trusted Christ will be delivered. Everyone who has not will be left behind to go into the worst time in history. The evil. God hates evil. He hates sin. The difference is, sin is usually a personal thing. It separates me from God. Your sin doesn't always affect everybody else. But evil affects everybody. That's why God hates evil. It's sin on steroids. Now with that in mind, turn with me if you will. Before I do that, however, I'd like to explain a couple of things. There are two words we're going to look at. Evil, translated evil. One's in the Old Testament. And the other one is in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word evil and wicked is almost always translated from one Hebrew word, and that is ra, R-A. Let me give you the definition, if I may. The definition is distress. Now, there's a longer definition. I'm just giving you the short definition. Distress, harm, hurt, sorrow, trouble. The word sin and also the word evil, when it's personal, means to miss or to bear the blame. You see, when I sinned against God, I was born a sinner. God said, I missed coming to the perfection of God. I bear the blame for my sin. I am a sinner. It also means crime against God. And then there's the Chaldean translation for the word sin, and that's offense, penalty. But the word evil and wicked means more. It means distress, harm. Who does it harm? Everyone. It hurts everyone. It brings sorrow. It brings trouble. In the New Testament, the word wicked and evil, there are many translations, but the one we're going to focus on this morning is the word porneuro. And it means hurtful and evil by influence. It's where we get the English word pornography. You take the word porneuro and add the word graphic. It means hurtful and evil by influence through graphic pictures. That's pornographic. But the word porneuro means hurtful, evil by influence, degenerate, diseased, derelict, vicious, so many things. You see, the word sin is usually a personal thing, not always, but it means separation from God, but the word evil influences everyone. And so with all that in mind, God is going to deliver us from this present evil age, porneuro, that's the word. And we're going to take a look in the Old Testament, and we're going to show you how God deals with evil. How God deals with evil. So let's go, if you will, let's begin, if you will, in the book of Joshua, and then we'll go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Now remember, we're bringing this out because God hates evil, and during the seven-year tribulation, God is going to deal with evil. But there's a lot of evil in the world we live in today. But look how God deals with evil. Go to Joshua chapter 6, if you will. Go to verse 21. Joshua was just about to defeat Jericho, or actually the Lord was. And in verse 21, God told the people in verse 21 in Joshua chapter, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge. They killed everything. Everybody and everything. You know why? They were evil. Evil is a disease. It destroys everything and everybody. We live in an evil age, don't we? We live in an evil age. What is the worst sin we can commit against God? You say, well, it's evil. Oh, there's not that simple.
Commit one, you commit more.
What's that?
Commit one, you commit more.
You commit one, you get them all. You're right. But there is an evil that is worse than any evil that we can commit against God, worse sin, and we're going to take a look at that shortly. But look what God said. Let's read that again. And they utterly, Israel, they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Everybody, man, woman, child, even the animals. God said, kill them all. I say amen. There's a lot of them I'd like to see dead today. You know why? They're evil. I'm a sinner. I realize that. I'd acknowledge that. But I hate evil because it corrupts and affects everybody and everything. You know why people don't go to church? Because we live in an evil society and they've been turned against the Lord Jesus Christ. That's evil. That is evil. Now turn back to Deuteronomy, if you will. We could go to a lot of places, but let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you will. And there's always something that goes along with evil, and I want you to pay attention to this. There's always something that goes along with evil. Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you will. Go to verse 9. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, when thou come into the land, they're talking about Canaan. God is going to send Israel into Canaan after they wandered for 40 years. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or who uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter of mediums, your Bible may say familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations whom thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers and times, and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not permitted or suffered thee to do so. So where does the root of evil come from?
They worship false gods.
False gods through demonology. That's what he's saying. Anytime you find where God says, you obey my word and be perfect, you'll almost always, within a few verses before or after, find this diviners. Do you know where evil begins? With Satan and his little demons. And then it's passed on to mankind. And that's why God calls it pornero, because it's evil by influence, wicked and evil. Just turn right in your Bible here to chapter 19, verse 1 here. Let me see, where am I at? In chapter 19, verse 1, when the Lord thy God, now remember, God's talking about the nations in the land that Israel's going to possess. This is a type of, so look up here for just a minute. I'm going to explain typology, just a minute. When you and I get saved, we come across the Red Sea. Egypt is a type of being lost in your sin. That's Egypt. It's being in bondage to the world. When you're lost in sin, you're in bondage to the world. When you come across the Red Sea, which is a type of mixing the blood of Christ and the Word of God, that's being saved. When I hear the Word of God, mix the blood of Christ with it, the Red Sea, I get saved across the Red Sea. Then I get on the other side, which is the wilderness. That is a type of the Christian testing ground. You have 11 days journey to. You go through the testing ground, you can either serve God, go into Canaan, across the Jordan River, which is a type of getting into the Word of God, and you get across the Jordan River, and you go into Canaan, which is a type of the kingdom of God, the blessings of God on this earth for the Christian, if you're serving. Or you cannot serve God, you can rebel against Him once you get saved, you can be like Egypt and say, I wish I was back in Egypt, the Israelites. God will say, okay, and you'll wander in the wilderness the rest of your years. You won't be happy. You won't be fruitful. Or you can serve God by faith. But when you get into Canaan, when you get into Canaan, where God wants you to be, that's your service to Christ, He wants you to drive out everything that'll take you away from serving Him. How many of you have those things in your life? You better believe you do. You have something in your life that'll keep you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Evaluate it, weigh it, see what it is, find out. We all do. I have them. I'm no different. And why does God want you to drive these things out? Because they're evil. Chapter 19, verse 1. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations, whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their house. God hath cut them off. You know what that means? Dead. In Galatians chapter 4, I believe it is, Paul said to the church of Galatia, I would they were even cut off who trouble you, Paul said, dead. Why? Because they're evil. Why were they evil? Because they perverted the Word of God. Now you see where I'm coming from. The worst evil, the worst perversion we can commit against God is perverting His Word. Now let's go on down, if you will, to chapter 20. And I want you to go, if you will, to, let's see here. Let's go to verse 10. We'll go to verse 10. Chapter 20 of Deuteronomy, verse 10. And there's some things I want you to notice here, so pay close attention. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. That makes sense to me, doesn't it? The Lord sent us here to take this city, but we want peace, so what are you going to do? That makes sense to me. And it shall be, if it make thee an answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people who are found therein shall be in bond or bondage, tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thy hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. Whoa! What did God say? Kill all the men. Kill them all. Now there's two distinctions here, and I want you to get this. There are two distinctions. When you go out into the world, you meet average people, do you not? Most of them are good people. We met a lot of people yesterday at our car wash. Good people. And most of them stayed and talked for a long time. Nice people. But there's two kinds of people God's mentioning here. The average person you're going to meet. That's what he's relating to here. You offer peace. If they don't give you peace, then just kill the males. Okay, cool. I'll buy that. And then you're going to see the other kind of people that you don't even offer peace to. We're going to take a look at that. Now notice what he said. Let's read that again. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. Why? Because that male will eventually rebel against the truth. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thy enemies which the Lord hath given thee. Thou shalt do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. Now notice verse 16. We're going to look at another group of people here. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Kill them all. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Genevites, the Periites. No, that's not
right.
As the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that why? Pay attention to this next verse now. I forgot to put Periites in there. Yeah, never mind. Why? That they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their God, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. God is saying, look, kill them. Why? Because they're evil. Because if you don't, soon you will disobey God, you'll get away from His word, and before long, you'll be serving other gods. Now then, let's go, if you will, to, let's see, where do I want to go? Let's back up to Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 7. There's something I need to point out here. You say, preacher, that's mean. Well, I didn't say that. God did. So if you think it's mean, then you think God is mean. But He's not. Look what God said in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, and take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Anything, listen, anything that takes your heart and your service away from the simplicity of serving Christ by faith is an abomination to God. Anything. I don't care what church it is, what religious it is, what religious activity of it is, if it's not by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an abomination. God considers it an abomination. It's a cursed thing. You need to evaluate your Christian life. What have you put first in your life? Is it evil? Now let's go, if you will, to... let me take just a second here. think we'll pass that up. I want you to go, if you will, because we're running out of time here. Go, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, if you will. For my people, Israel, have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, who is at
Christ.
Jesus Christ. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what that is? A works righteousness. They've forsaken the fountain of living waters, the Lord Jesus Christ, and hewed out a broken cistern that holds no water. You cannot work your way to heaven. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. Do you know what all the abominations are of all the nations? Works religion, works righteousness, false gods, false idols. Turn over, if you will, to Daniel chapter 9, if you will. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 11, if you will. Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, servant of God, because we have sinned against him. What is the sin? What is the evil? Departing from the simple word of God. And he hath confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges that judge us, by bringing upon us a great evil, Ra. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities. And understand, listen to that little last word in that verse, you ought to circle that word, and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. Do you know what? Paul the Apostle said, we are living in a present evil age. And we certainly are. We certainly are. Go back in your Bibles to Galatians, where we began this morning. I had a lot more places I wanted to go, but we're running out of time, so we'll have to move right along here. Where'd it go? Oh, here it is. You see, Paul the Apostle knew that we lived in a present evil age when the perversion, the gospel, has been perverted. People will do and say anything other than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's evil. And Paul said in chapter 5, verse 12, you don't have to go there, for I would they were even cut off who trouble you. Dead. Back to chapter 1, if you will. Paul said in Timothy, in the latter days, perilous times shall come. And I think we're pretty darn close. I think we're pretty darn close. I get literature in the mail from a place in Oklahoma called the Radio Bible Church or something like that. And I got an article from them last week that was pretty darn good until it got to the end. It was all about the tribulation. When it got to the end, and I'm going to call him tomorrow's Monday. I'm going to call him up. When it got to the end, he said, here's the good news. You don't have to go through the tribulation. I said, that's good. You're right. And then he said, It's easy. All you have to do is go through the ABCs of salvation. And then he began. A, repent of your sin. And the word repent means turn from sin. That's a damn lie. Excuse my French, but it's a damn lie. Do you think Jesus Christ loves being called a liar? It's evil. It's just plain evil. You know what the worst sin that we commit against God? It's perverting his simple word. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of sin, and all you have to do is believe it. Anything else is a perversion, and it's just plain evil. And then he went on to say, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I buy that, but why did you insert return from sin? If you had to turn from sin in order to be saved, that would be a works righteousness. And then you'll turn right around and quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You idiot! I'm going to call him tomorrow, by the way. I got the phone number and everything. Got his name. I do it all the time because I enjoy it. Maybe I'm a troublemaker. Yeah, could be, too. So, you know what? We're living in the latter days. The perilous times are coming because God is tired of evil. And the evil is the two evils committed by the nation of Israel, and look where they are today. I'm writing a book on it called No Remedy. God said in 2 Chronicles, I think it was verse 16, chapter 36, there is no remedy. There's no remedy when you take God's word and pervert it day after day after day and call him a liar. You don't confess your sins to a priest. You don't pray to the Virgin Mary. You don't do this. You don't do that. You just put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're at the point where there is no remedy. There is none.
Ephesians 6:13,
which says,
wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the final day, having done all to stand.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Why? Because it's just plain evil. And that's what the tribulation is all about. In the book of Tribulation, over two chapters are dedicated to Babylon, which is false religion, and it's just plain evil. Paul said that he is going to deliver us from this present evil age. That's the church age. He will deliver us, but I got to tell you something. I don't think we deserve it. Our church is a joke. All of our so-called body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is an absolute joke. We live in a world of mush heads. Nothing but mush between the ears. It's pretty sad. However,
the very next verse tells you that, do you seek to please man or to seek to please God?
Yeah. Well, I want to please God. But I have to acknowledge that sin is sin, but evil is sin on steroids. And the worst evil we can commit against God. By the way, do you realize that every time God's word is perverted, that every evil you can imagine follows it? Look at the world today. Homosexuality, that's evil. Our preachers stand in the pulpit preaching against it. Then, of course, there's abortion. That's evil. Our preachers stand in the pulpit every day condemning abortion. And then, of course, they condemn divorce. That's evil. Absolutely. They condemn it from the pulpits every day. And then they condemn our politicians, and I do too. I don't have any use for them. Most of them, I wish they were dead. I wish God would kill them. Because they're evil. But you know, the real problem today is the same preacher that stands in the pulpit that condemns every evil that follows false doctrine is his false gospel. When will they ever get it? Probably never. In closing, let me show you this. The simple message is very simple. This hand represents me, the sinner. This represents my sin. Now, I can go to hell and pay for my own sin. God will allow me to do that. But I don't have to, because this hand represents Christ. He died on a cross, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of sin. The very second I believe he paid for my sin, he marks it paid. All I have to do is believe it. It's a Greek word, pistoeo, and it means faith. It also means to give one credit for. Did you know that? The word in the Greek means to give one credit for. When you put your faith in Christ, you're giving him all the credit. If you turn from sin, you're taking part of the credit. That won't work. If you walk down an aisle, you're taking part of the credit. That won't work. You lay your sins on the mourner's bench. That's what they call it, the mourner's bench here. That won't work. The only thing that works is give him the credit, put your faith in him, and your sins are marked paid. Otherwise, you don't have to do anything, but hell is a hot place, isn't it? I refuse to go. I ain't going. I'm not going. I know you'd like to send me there, but I believe Christ died on the cross for my sins, and when I meet him face to face, I ain't going. You made a promise. So if you're here today and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die right now, before we close, Lord, just tell him you believe he died on the cross for your sin. And when you do that, the very second you believe he died on the cross for you, your sins are marked paid, you're going to heaven when you die. And if you've never done it before, do it now, because I think we're getting pretty darn close to the rapture. And immediately following the rapture is the 7-year tribulation. And you don't want to be faced with that, because God is really going to get a hold of evil when that happens. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll close this morning. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here this morning that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, you can do it right now. Just say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me, and your sins are marked paid immediately. You're on your way to heaven. You're going to avoid the tribulation. You don't want to go through that. And you'll avoid going to hell. That's even worse. Won't you do that today? In the meantime, if you've already trusted Christ, then get the gospel straight and give somebody the gospel. You want to receive blessings in your life from the Lord Jesus Christ? Tell somebody how to be saved. That's all you have to do. You'll be surprised how many blessings you'll get. Dear Lord, we thank you for everyone gathered here this morning. Give them a glorious day and a glorious week. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. I don't know what time it is. Oh, I'm not late. Right on time. Right on time. Let me see here. I've got to strike up the band.